our self-perception, what I mean by that is how we encourage ourselves or how we discourage ourselves in Krishna consciousness. I want to make, I want to see if I can make the volume louder. I made it lower. I guess it's okay. I made it lower because we're going to do kirtan. Let me go into chat and see if it's okay. I will ask you a question. Is it loud enough? Anshuman, is it loud enough? Pallavi, is it loud enough? Pallavi says it's loud enough. Okay.
Loud enough.
Yes. This is being broadcast on Krishna.com now. You can call your friends in Russia and tell them. What, in Russia, it's 9 o'clock.
8 o'clock, 8:15.
Okay. So, one related experience that I have and many devotees have is that we feel inadequate in our service to Krishna. Thank you. We feel inadequate in our service to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. And in our inadequacy, we sometimes feel bad. We haven't done the best we can. We've let our spiritual master down. We might feel guilty, done something wrong, haven't lived up to the mark. Those kind of general feelings. And then perhaps feeling bad that we're letting other devotees down. We're letting our spiritual master down. We're letting Krishna down. And although we're engaged in devotional service, which is blissful, or is it supposed to be blissful, we're not blissful. We're feeling, I'm bad, I'm not good. So I want to address that. I don't know if you ever felt that way, but I think you have. So I'm going to address it. You want to translate until Bala Krishna comes? Or we don't need to translate, right? Because it's English? Anyway, if you don't understand, oh, she doesn't. She needs translation. She's good. English is good. English is okay? Something. So, Srila Prabhupada. You know Srila Prabhupada? Who Srila Prabhupada is? That's Srila Prabhupada. He's the spiritual master. So he would travel all over the world. And wherever he would go, when he would arrive, he would ask one question. You know the question he would ask? Is everybody happy? So his mission was to make people happy. But some people are good at making themselves miserable. You know? You understand? You do something, it should make you happy, but you think, I didn't do it well, I'm not doing it right, so I shouldn't be happy. I feel bad. Something like that. I feel guilty. So, Srila Prabhupada came, he gave us principles to follow, teachings to follow, and then nobody could follow them perfectly because the teachings are very high, and you have to gradually learn how to do it. Because to become spiritually pure, it's a slow process. You're going from a state like a beginner. You know, in a beginner, when you start, you don't become an expert, right? It takes time. But when you're in the beginner stage, sometimes you feel guilty that you're not an expert. Because you feel, after a few years, you should be expert. Then you start feeling bad. I'm not expert. I'm making mistakes. And then as an individual who's practicing spiritual life, one can be executing the practices that make you happy, but they make you unhappy because you feel you're not successful. So a lot of people who practice spiritual life go through this. They feel bad that they're not doing well enough, or they've failed many times in trying to follow certain practices. Or they see other people who are better, then they feel bad. He's better, she's better, that means I'm bad. And so what I saw with Srila Prabhupada was that he never made us feel that we were bad, but we made ourselves feel that we were bad. So then we get the process to make us happy, and then we feel bad because we feel we're not doing it well. And he's saying, come. I'm very happy with what you're doing. And we're saying, oh, I'm not doing it well, I feel bad. I feel guilty. I feel, I don't feel worthy. This is a common problem. And some people feel guilty, even when they're doing well. So it's the art of making yourself unhappy. Have you ever done that? Made yourself unhappy? When you shouldn't be? Anyway, if you practice spiritual life, if you want to practice spiritual life, if you want to take it up, you have to learn how to deal with this. Because when you take a spiritual path, the goals are very high. And practically speaking, nobody achieves the high goals. It's okay, so far?
Do we need that?
Not yet. So, if you take to a spiritual process, we're talking about guilt. I guess this is a good topic for Israel, right? Everybody understands guilt in Israel?
Everybody who has a Jewish mother.
They said if you have a Jewish mother, you understand. They'll make you feel guilty. Even if you haven't done anything wrong, they'll make you feel better. And the point I was making before you came is that Prabhupada never made anybody feel bad. He always made everybody feel good, but we felt bad. That there was no connection for us feeling bad and how we felt, because he always... It was amazing that devotees would make so many mistakes. One is in the kitchen and the other is... Okay. She's okay. Ask her if she understands. We'll wait till more come. So this is what I saw. This is what I personally saw and how Prabhupada dealt with his disciples. Many disciples fell on their face. You understand? Fell on your face? Boom. You try and you fall on your face. Some of them fell very hard on their face. Some actually hurt their face. Some broke some bones. And the way Prabhupada dealt with that was always, what are you going to do now that you fell on your face? How are you going to move forward? It was always like the past didn't exist. Only the future exists. Yeah, only the future existed. What are you going to... Now that you fell on your face, what are you going to do about it?
You mean literally fell on the face or...
made a mistake. That's an American expression. When you make a big mistake, we say you fell on your face.
Short time trying to do that.
They fell on their face. Making mistakes, which in some cases would seem to be unforgivable mistakes, or things that would be difficult to forgive. And Prabhupada would just want to know, what are you going to do now, next, how to move forward. So he never made anyone feel bad about their mistakes. And often when devotees feel bad about their mistakes and they're trying to deal with it, sometimes they have a very difficult time. Because they say, but I made a mistake, so I should feel bad. And then they say, if I don't feel bad, it gets complicated here. If you do something bad, and then the devotee says, if I don't feel bad about doing something bad, I will feel bad. Right? It's like an endless chain. But Prabhu, I have to feel bad because I did something bad. That may be true to some degree. Okay, so let's look at that idea. Okay, in the teachings of Krishna consciousness, there's a principle called remorse. Remorse means you feel bad for something you did, so you don't do it again. Because if you don't feel bad, then you haven't taken it seriously, right? But the idea of remorse is to feel bad to propel you forward, not to feel bad to keep you down. So there's a difference. Remorse is a spiritual principle which helps you move forward. Okay, you recognize you did something wrong. You feel bad about it to the degree that you won't do it again. Whereas guilt can work that you feel bad, but it depresses you that you feel bad, and you can't move forward because you're still feeling bad about it, right? But how can I go forward because what I did was so bad? Right? So you're holding yourself down. You've tied yourself up to a pole. And that, you know, you're the one who tied yourself. So then we get into the situation where occasionally people will say, you know, I've done something bad and I'm having trouble forgiving myself. So I say, okay, it's good. You recognize you did something bad. Be remorseful and move forward. And they say, I can't. Because it would be bad, I'm not the point I made before. It would be bad, I'd be a bad person if I didn't feel bad about doing something bad. It's true, but only so far. And so what I saw with Prabhupada was that he just wanted to see that you understood you made a mistake and he was okay, and that you understood how to move forward and he was okay with it. That's it. It's finished. Yes.
Some people have the tendency to get, they become, they use this method inside to take off responsibility for action.
Okay, so Balakrishna is saying, well, it can be used to become irresponsible. There's a saying, the best apologies are proper actions in the future. So if you're acting properly, you're taking responsibility for rectifying your action. If you don't rectify it, at least make the effort to rectify it, then I would say, yeah, you could say you're being irresponsible. So we have the example of a person who falls down in the mud. And he's laying in the mud on the street, and all these people are walking by. And as they're walking by, he's saying, look at me, how unfortunate I am, I've fallen in the mud. But he doesn't get up. He just kind of wallows. You understand the word wallow? Wallow means oy vey, look at me, I'm in the mud. Right? Look how unfortunate I am, I'm in the mud. So the people walking by are thinking, well, are you going to get up and put on new clothes and bathe? And he lays there all day. Oy vey, look what happened, I slipped in the mud, I'm so unfortunate. So that would be an example of not taking responsibility for a mistake. I made a mistake, I slipped, I didn't look where I was going, and I'm just laid there. So in terms of Bhagavad Gita, that would be the mode of ignorance, where there's inertia, you can't move, you make a mistake, you fall, you regret, you lament, but you can't move beyond it. All you can do is lament for what you've done. I'm so bad, I'm so bad. Look at this, I'm so stupid, I slipped and fell in the mud. What's the use of standing up? Why would a stupid person even try to walk again? I'll just lay here. Something like that. So that would be the mode of ignorance, right? Just lethargic. You can't move. You can't. Your willpower is practically destroyed. So in Srila Prabhupada's dealing with devotees, he was helping them become responsible by acknowledging the mistake. Okay, what was the mistake? Perhaps tracing their steps, which they could trace. How did you make the mistake? What did you learn from the mistake? And how can you go forward? Now, one of the most important things you can learn in life is that there are things you can never, ever learn unless you make a mistake. That you can't, somebody can tell you, but you can't learn it. You have to make a mistake to learn it. Did you know that? There's certain things you won't learn. You'll learn by making mistakes. You'll find in your life. You know, somebody tells you, do this, don't do that. You don't listen, right? And then you finally do the opposite, and then you learn, I should have listened. Or you're learning how to do something, and the process of becoming perfect at it. Hare Krishna, good to see you. The process of becoming perfect. Okay, like an instrument. How do you learn to play an instrument? By making a lot of mistakes, right? Okay, here's the piano. Here's Beethoven. Start playing. No, that's not the right one. That's how you learn. You make mistakes, right? You can't be perfect right away. So a spiritual master understands in training a disciple, the disciple is going to make mistakes. The problem is the disciple doesn't always understand that. So the spiritual master, he's very kind, he's very patient, he's very tolerant. If he sees the disciple is learning from his mistakes and is willing to move forward. But often the disciple is, oh, I'm so bad. I'm failing my spiritual master. And what it does is it disempowers us. Because if you feel bad enough and it's not productive, it's not remorseful, it's not corrective, it's not putting you in the right direction, what happens? It slows you down, right? It could stop you, right? I mean, there are people like that who just give up. What's the use? What's the point? Right? And it's very common in spiritual practice because in spiritual practice, the goals are very high. I mean, the real goals. That's why a lot of people like religions that don't have high goals, because then you can achieve them and feel good. And all the goals were, they really weren't goals. You really didn't do much. But you feel like, okay, I'm okay. But when you want something more genuine, then it's going to be more difficult to achieve. That's true of anything in life, right? You want to be rich, it's going to be a lot harder than being poor. Right? Consequences of being poor may be more difficult, but you're going to have to work harder. You want to be a bank clerk or you want to be the bank manager? You're going to have to work harder to be the bank manager. You want to own your own bank, you're going to have to work harder. So when you come to a spiritual practice that's genuine, then what happens? You come, the goals are way up here, and everybody fails. Everybody. from the guru on down the line. Nobody achieves it perfectly. I mean, a rare few people do it. And if you don't know how to deal with it, it can be very discouraging. Right? Look how bad I am. I've just failed. I failed the other devotees. I failed my guru. I failed my God. I failed myself. Why continue? Why go on? So there's a saying that the only people who fail are the people who give up. Have you heard that before? The only people who fail are the people who give up. The people who don't give up don't fail. It's the ones who go, okay, that's it, I'm finished. So an interesting thing which I found in dealing with this myself and counseling other devotees is there's a certain thing we do to ourselves, which is we create rules for ourselves. And the rules are often different than the rules our teachers create for ourselves. In other words, how do you determine what's right or wrong, good or bad? Well, you have scripture, you have your guru, you have teachers, they show you. But internally, you have your own sets of right and wrong. So your guru says, no, it's okay, continue. And you say, no, it was bad, I can't. Probably because your mother convinced you you were bad and you can't, or somebody did. Some of your brother, Albert Einstein, was convinced by his high school teacher he was pretty useless and he should drop out of school. So you know, you have these things. Did you know that? It's Einstein or Schweitzer, one of them. Said,
Einstein was right.
He said, you're pretty useless, just go get a job or something. You're a nice guy, people will like you. So, you know, you hear all these things growing up. People, they're friends, your nasty friends are supposed to be nice to you, tell you you're stupid or whatever. So here is the guru telling you, no, continue. Krishna will help you, go on in your spiritual life. And then there's yourself telling yourself something else. No, you can't do it if you're really useless and so forth, and you're not good. So you have your own internal set of rules which are different. And so that's the point. That we want our rules to be the same as the rules that we're given. We don't want these disempowering rules. Prabhu, I can't forgive myself. Why? I don't know. Well, you can. How? Just do it. And it becomes a real problem. But how do you just do it? Oh, you just do it. No, but I can. Well, who made the rule that you can't? I don't know. Prabhu, you made it. If you made it, you can change it, right? Does it sound simple? Does it? But that's actually the reality, that we created a rule, that this is good and this is bad. And my point is, even if it is bad, what's bad is how we deal with it. What's bad or good is how we deal with it. Not in itself that it's bad. You don't realize how much I have learned by making mistakes. Devotees say, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with that? I say, I can tell you, because I made that mistake. Just ask me and I will tell you. And they think, oh, Mahatma, he's very wise. No, he's not wise. He just made a lot of mistakes. The devotees were saying, I have a friend, he's been divorced a few times, two or three or four or five, I lost count. And I was joking with him, I said, you should give a seminar on Grihastha life. He said, how could I? I said, you could give a seminar, the 10 best ways to destroy a marriage. Because you know how to do it. Because you've learned. Right? And it'd be a great seminar. I said, if you do this, and all the men will say, oh, I didn't realize that destroys a marriage. I go, yeah, I know, I've done it. So, making a mistake is not the problem, but it's how you come out of it, what you learn from it, and how you move forward to get closer to Krishna That's the crucial point. If you hold yourself down by this rule you've created, that maybe I shouldn't go forward because I made this mistake. Maybe Krishna won't allow me in his kingdom, or my guru won't accept me any longer. That may have some relevance if mistakes we make, as Prabhupada said, and the Shastra says that, that is only true if the mistakes you make are premeditated, they're purposeful, they're not accidental. In other words, you're not actually trying anymore, you've given up and you're... You want to translate? I don't mind.
Well, they're typically in the kitchen that don't speak English, but I mean...
Can they listen in the kitchen?
Well, yeah, they hear the lecture.
You want to translate in real time while you sit in the kitchen?
Yeah, there's no lecture.
And then if more people come, then we can translate. Premeditated offenses, or mistakes where one is not trying to avoid the mistake. That's different. But if one is actually trying to avoid a mistake, that's what Krishna sees. And then you learn from it and you move forward. That's the idea. What do you think? You agree? It's very important because everybody goes through this. Because as I said, everybody's coming into something which is very pure. And everybody falls short. Every one of us falls short. And if you're the kind of person that is a high achiever that wants perfection quickly, it can be very difficult. I've seen people like that completely give up devotional service because they were number one in everything they did in life. And they came to bhakti and they realized, I can't have that same mentality in bhakti. It's not the way it works. And they left. They couldn't deal with it. You don't control bhakti. You can control other things in this world, and you can be number one in your class, but bhakti's different. So, what I'm suggesting here is we look more at how Prabhupada dealt with these situations, how Prabhupada trained his disciples, and we see it was very, very encouraging. Now, Prabhupada said something that struck me very much. A devotee was losing his enthusiasm. In situations like this, where if you're not doing well, you can lose enthusiasm, right? You try, you fail, you try. What's the use? Why try? Just give up. You know, I could be a good Jew. That's a lot easier, right? I don't have to do much, right? It's a lot easier to be a good Jew than a good Hare Krishna. So I'll give up being a Hare Krishna and just be a good Jew. I don't have to struggle. So, Prabhupada said that if a devotee who's practicing bhakti loses their enthusiasm, he said, then everything will be finished. Because the enthusiasm to move forward is essential because we are going against a very deep conditioning. And you know, when you go against something, when you try to break a habit, there's a lot of resistance to it. Somebody tries to stop smoking or give up a habit, it's very difficult. So it's essentially that's what we're doing in the practice of devotional service. There's a conditioning we're going against. And so it's easy to lose enthusiasm. So he said, if you lose enthusiasm, everything will be finished. You won't be able to go on because there'll be no energy, you'll give up. So I remember that statement and I took that statement to heart. And when I help devotees, I always tell them, whatever situation you're in, whatever you're dealing with, you have to adjust your thinking and your attitude to remain enthusiastic, because if you lose your enthusiasm, that's it. And so what I've seen quite often is that when devotees run into difficulty, they get into this point where I don't deserve to be enthusiastic. It would be wrong to be enthusiastic. You ever felt like that? Like, I'm kind of like, I'm too bad to be enthusiastic about bhakti. It would be a perversion at this point. You know, it's a weird way of thinking. But I've seen it. And I always tell devotees, whatever happens, whatever you do, you should always try to come to a point in your attitude, in your consciousness, where you can go forward enthusiastically, whatever is required. And so, in dealing with these kinds of issues, I always see that the, what happened? Did we get approval? What happened? A crown fell down? Subhadra's crown.
It was like this.
Does that mean what I said was good or what I said was bad?
Yes, it's good. Enthusiastic.
The Pujari said it was good.
Subhadra's always.
It was such a powerful statement, it blew Subhadra's crown. It must be good. So, in dealing with devotees who, you know, are feeling somewhat bad that they haven't lived up to the standard, I always try to help them realize that you need to put yourself in a state of consciousness which will help you be enthusiastic. And you can really hold yourself down. You can really destroy your own enthusiasm. It's quite possible. No, I can't be enthusiastic because I'm too bad. But then how does that help you? How does that help you in Krishna consciousness? In the Nectar of Instruction, we have this word called utsahan, and it's in the first verse, and it's the first word of the first verse, and utsahan means enthusiasm. And so, in Nectar of Instruction, it's explaining you need certain qualities to be successful. Enthusiasm is the first. Jai Jagannath. Jai Sisikana. So I have a question for you. Can you be successful in anything if you're not enthusiastic?
In depression.
What?
Successful in depression.
Successful in depression. So you know, you look at this verse, it says you need enthusiasm, you need patience, utsahan, you need determination. It's the same qualities you need to be successful in anything. Prabhupada was very encouraging. If he saw someone had a little desire to serve Krishna, he would encourage us, thank you, please continue. Because he knew that a little desire to serve Krishna was something rare in this world and valuable. And he always fanned the flame. We should do that to ourselves. Sometimes devotees say, I'm not doing well because I'm not getting encouraged. And I say, encourage yourself. Pat yourself on the back. Hey, I chanted my rounds today. Way to go, Mahatma. You're doing good. Give yourself some encouragement. It's not easy to be Krishna conscious in a world where everything is against you. We may not always get encouragement from others, but we have to know that our spiritual master is happy because you're doing devotional service. That Prabhupada is happy, the other devotees are happy, even if they don't look like they're happy. We have to have this ability to recognize the value in what we do and encourage ourselves. It's important because you won't always get encouraged by other people and your mind may discourage you. As you're well aware, right? No, I'm not that good. Hare Krishna. I'm not that good. So, 7 o'clock Russian time is 8 o'clock, right? So, I'm not that good. Then you might say, well, is that how a devotee thinks? Like a devotee should encourage himself? Isn't that pride? Shouldn't a devotee be humble and say, I'm not that good? You want to translate?
Yes, we do.
So it's time to translate into Russian. So this is my, now I get tested for my tolerance. Because I say three words and he says 17 words. And I'm already thinking, you know, four sentences ahead of him. So all of you there in Krishna.com land, if you know Russian, or you have Russian friends, call them up.
There's no other translated too much, they can tell you if I'm adding.
And they can tell you if you're what? Not doing well?
If I'm adding or
changing. So, if there's any Russian devotees out there and it's not doing a good job, tell them. Okay? And if you speak Russian out there? I don't know. Okay. So, nobody's encouraging me.
Никто меня не вдохновляет.
I'm discouraged.
Я не вдохновлен.
Okay. You don't think Srila Prabhupada is encouraged that you're trying to serve Krishna? He is.
Вы не думаете, что Шрила Прабхупада доволен того, что вы пытаетесь служить Кришне?
That was only four words. It turned into 12. If you look at Prabhupada's instructions and how he dealt with people, you see he's always encouraging. Turn off the bass. It's too much bass. You can turn the bass down.
Krishna Govinda.
Say something.
Hare Krishna.
That's better. Yeah. Prabhupada was always encouraging. It didn't matter to him how bad you were. If you made a mistake, you admitted it, and you're ready to move forward. He was fine.
Ему было не важно, насколько вы плохие, мы делали ошибку, признавали его, могли двигаться дальше, все было нормально.
You should always remember that.
Всегда помните.
Prabhupada said, "I came to your country to teach you to chant." And I see you chanting, and I'm happy.
Я вижу, что вы успеваете, я рад.
Question.
No matter how big the mistake is,
if you rectify it, if you're willing to rectify it.
Не важно, насколько велика ошибка, если вы готовы ее исправить.
No. He's asking, well, what if it's a really big mistake? And the only time that I saw Prabhupada reject anybody was when they rejected his instructions. When they rejected his help, then he said, do whatever you want. Which they thought was his instruction, which was actually his rejection. But other than that, he never rejected him.
Но кроме этого случая никогда никого не отрывал.
So it's always our willingness to go forward, our willingness to learn from our mistakes, and willingness to improve. That's what's important.
Это всегда наша готовность идти дальше, наше желание учиться, это то, что было важно.
Yes.
What if my mistake is not rectifying my mistake?
Then you have a problem.
So,
my mistake is not to recognize my mistake. Yeah. Then, see, because the point is that we can get so much help from so much help and guidance and encouragement, but we have to do something with it. So then, this is a good point, because then the only mistake would be that you don't take the help to rectify the mistake.
То есть это хороший момент, что единственное случай, если мы не принимаем эту помощь, чтобы помочь, чтобы исправить ошибку.
That's the real mistake. Yeah.
Это настоящая ошибка.
Yes.
How can we increase the enthusiasm?
Как можно увеличить вдохновение?
Well, one, she's asking how to increase enthusiasm. One, there's different ways. I think one of the best ways is to connect with service that inspires us.
Есть несколько методов, ты думаешь, что лучше из них это соединить со служением, которое нас вдохновляет.
What I think many of us don't realize that the greatest person, the greatest inspiration to us is ourselves.
Я думаю, что они не понимают, что больше всего энтузиазма
it's ourselves. Because when you're connected with something that inspires you, then where is the inspiration coming from?
Когда мы связываем себя с чем-то, что нас вдохновляет, откуда это вдохновление, поощрение берется?
Nobody has to tell you to do it. No one has to encourage you. You're on fire.
Никто не должен нам говорить, что нужно это делать.
Did he say the right thing? Sort of.
We're learning.
Yeah, okay. We, as devotees, we know we get inspiration from hearing, right? It's very common. But the problem is that if we become overly dependent on hearing, that's the only way we become inspired. And we do become inspired, we become purified, there's no question. But if we don't have the capacity also to be inspired within, that will act like blowing up a tire that has a leak in it.
We stop hearing.
If we're not able to inspire ourselves as well, then the hearing will act like blowing up a tire with a leak in it, and the air will all leak out.
Мы конкретно знаем, что мы получаем вдохновение от слушания, но если мы должны также научиться получать вдохновение изнутри, потому что иначе слушание будет действовать как надувание шины, в которой дырка.
So the title of this lecture is called The Flat Tire.
Поэтому титул лекции будет называться «Таркола вздутая колесо».
Prabhu, when you were in Israel, I was very fired up, but when you left, I became a flat tire. Because I was always pumping you up, so even though the air was leaking out, I was putting more air in. But you have to patch your tire.
Прабу, когда вы были в Израиле, я был очень вдохновлен, а сейчас уехали в Кирилл, да, потому что я все время надувал колесо, и даже хотя оно сдувало, оно все равно было надуто. Мне тоже научиться поставлять это
колесо.
Did he say it right? More or less? I used to give lectures in other countries and I'd start talking scientific preaching and I'd say it and he'd look at me and go, what did you say? To become successful in anything, there's a balance. So there needs to be a balance between hearing, the inspiration you get from hearing, and the inspiration that comes from within. But Prabhupada said that there's a balance between the inspiration that comes from within for service and the inspiration that comes for sadhana, because he said when a devotee is inspired in their service, naturally they'll be inspired in their sadhana.
So balance both with from within?
If they're inspired in their service from within, then naturally they'll be inspired in their sadhana.
Прабхупада сказал, что если преданный вдохновлен на служение изнутри, то также будет вдохновлен на садхану.
So what I found in my own life, if there's something you're doing for Krishna that you just love, that keeps you up late at night, it wakes you up early in the morning, it just pushes you. Just it's so, it's like a sweet ball. You just can't get enough of it. That could be one of the best things for your spiritual life. Because okay.
То есть я нашел, увидел своей собственной духовной жизни, то есть есть какое-то движение для Кришны, которое мы делаем, которое мы очень любим, которое заставляет нас оставаться, делать его до глубокой ночи, то это что-то, что может дать нам очень помочь нам в духовной жизни, потому что как есть какой-то сладость.
Now the natural question is, for some devotees, is I don't know what that is.
What if it's
you don't have a choice?
No, that's obvious. What if you think it's service, but actually jogging for Krishna.
He says he likes jogging for Krishna. So you get a jogging club. And as you're jogging, you talk to them about Krishna.
So that is also...
I don't know, it's not the normal way of serving, but, who knows? I always see these people walking, everywhere I go around the world, people are walking, I think, where's their beads? Why doesn't somebody just start a walking club and teach them to chant?
Вопрос был, что если это служение, оно как бы и не качественное служение, а на самом деле это служение, то, конечно, я люблю бегать для Кришны. То есть, даже если ты будешь бегать, можно сделать клуб людей, которые бегают, и говорить с ними о Кришне.
No, but what you will see is, there's a devotee here. So he wrote me, he said he wants to preach to this satanic cult, young people. He's inspired to preach to them.
Здесь есть один бедный, который написал мне, что он хочет проповедовать одной сатанинской секте молодых людей.
That's inspires him.
Это его вдохновляет.
And he's making progress.
Он продвигает.
Now, if I asked you to do that, you might say, I don't want to do that. That's not inspiring to me.
Если бы я попросил вас это делать, вы можете сказать, я не хочу это делать, это меня не вдохновляет.
The Prabhupada understood the key is we all have energy and we all utilize energy. We all do serve. We serve. That's what we do. So Prabhupada wanted to draw all of that energy, all that service out of us for Krishna.
Prabhupada сказал, он сказал, что мы все время занимаемся служением, все, что мы делаем, это служение. Он хотел всю эту энергию служения направить, чтобы мы направили ее на Кришну.
So he would tell his leaders, find what devotees like to do because it will draw that serving spirit out of them. And when they're inspired, automatically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because then they want to do more service because they're inspired in their service, so they chant better. They do more sadhana because they know their sadhana empowers their service. Service and powers of sadhana. It's a winning formula.
Поэтому Прабхупада говорил своим людям, найдите то, что преданные любят делать, займите в этом, потому что когда они будут вдохновлены делать служение, они будут вдохновлены успевать лучше следовать садхане, что они будут знать, что это садхана позволяет им лучше делать это служение.
Prabhu, but how do I know what I like to do? Ask your mother. What did I like to do when I was young?
Play
on the walls. You're a writer, yeah, or an artist. Exactly. I used to play guitar and write songs. Why do people write songs? To communicate ideas. At least people in my generation, that's why they wrote it. They wrote songs to create revolution. So you look back at your youth and say, okay, I wrote songs, communication, ideas, changing people's minds. You see, you start putting down, who am I? What makes me who I am? What do I do? How does this machine work? How can it best function in Krishna service?
Если посмотреть, кто я, чем связать свою молодость, чем любили заниматься, понять, как этот механизм, как эта машина работает, и как я могу занять эту машину в служении Кришне.
You know, these devotees with these backgrounds in science, they eat and sleep science. I don't know if you ever met any of them. They eat and sleep science. I lived in a temple with them. They couldn't stop talking about it. They work day and night on producing books, videos, lecturing. And they never get tired.
Они занимались наукой, и они продолжают заниматься наукой, и в состоянии живут с такими людьми, они все время говорят о науке, день и ночь пишут книги о науке, они никогда не устают.
Artist. The ISKCON artists, at least, I don't know many artists other than artists in ISKCON. They'd paint all day, they'd paint all night, and they'd go to Bhagavatam class and they'd be sketching.
Художники в ISKCON, они
I don't know if any of you know Satyaraj. Satyaraj is an author, right? He writes many books. Welcome. Satyaraj Maharaj you're all well aware of. Satyaraj Maharaj is a writer. You think you could get Satsuru Maharaj to stop writing? That's his nature. That's what he lives and breathes. You have other devotees, they love to manage things. You do this, you do that, you go here, you clean this, you do this. 4 in the morning, 10 o'clock at night, 3 telephones, emails, going day and night. They love it, they thrive for it. Some people are like
that.
Other people, put me in a cave. Don't let anybody know where I am. I just want to chant Hare Krishna. Some people are like that.
Другие бедные хотят, чтобы их оставили в пещере, чтобы никто не знал, где они просто выпивали Кришну.
So we all have a nature, but we need to see how to use that. Now I'll tell you another thing. If a devotee has a very a certain nature and he's engaged in something which is contrary to that nature, very contrary, they can actually get sick. It's so hard for them to do that.
И скажем, еще одна вещь, если бедные, у них определенная природа, они заняты чем-то обратным от этой природы, то они даже могут заболеть.
But Prabhu, shouldn't we do whatever Krishna wants? Yes. But Krishna allows us to within whatever he wants, there are things you can do, you can best serve him by, because it's what you like to do and you do well.
Но Прабху, разве мы не должны делать просто то, что Кришна хочет, да, но Кришна позволяет нам какой-то выбор, и мы должны в этом спектре делать то, что нам нравится, то, что нам может делать Кришна.
So now, that was a long answer to your question. I'm going to let you ask your question, but there's another way to be enthusiastic.
Есть еще, это был длинный ответ на вопрос, но есть еще один метод, как получить
энтузиазм. And in America we say, fake it till you make it.
В Америке мы говорим,
fake it till you make
it.
I can say it another way. Just if you don't feel like doing it, do it. Just like, let's say we have kirtan. And I say, okay, let's chant, or let's dance.
Everybody
says, we don't feel like dancing.
Если скиртан, я скажу, давайте танцевать, а вот тут сказать, да, не
just get up and start moving. Then after a while, you'll feel like dancing.
Я скажу, нет, давай вы встаньте и пока начните двигаться, через какое-то время вам захочется.
So that's called fake it till you make it.
Занятись, пока оно не...
The action can alter the consciousness.
Деятельность может изменить сознание.
Go like this. Everybody go like this. It's a good time to go like this.
Все делайте так.
Okay. Now everybody go like this.
Теперь все сделайте так.
You feel different?
Чувствуете разницу?
So just the movement of the body is affecting the way we think.
Движение тела, оно действует на то, как мы думаем.
So sometimes the faking of enthusiasm can alter the consciousness.
Поэтому иногда притворный энтузиазм может изменить сознание.
Okay. Everybody smile.
Все улыбнитесь.
Now keep smiling, and I want you to feel miserable.
Улыбайтесь, я
feel really sad. Keep smiling. Feel really miserable. See, it doesn't
очень
work.
Несчастный.
Doesn't work, does it?
Это не работает, да?
Мы practicing Krishna consciousness.
Because I always tell Natalie to smile. And I know if she smiles, she'll be happy, even if she's not happy.
Поэтому я всегда говорю, это не улыбаться, потому что даже если она будет улыбаться, она станет счастлива, радостна, даже если она улыбается.
Sometimes, when I really don't want to do something, you know, I'll show you what I do.
Иногда мне очень не хочется что-то делать, я покажу вам, что я делаю.
I can't wait to do this. I'm so excited.
Я не могу подождать, когда наконец-то я буду это делать. Я так жду это.
And I notice my consciousness alters.
Я заметил, что мое сознание меняется.
Just like if I ask somebody right now, okay, I'm finished speaking, I'm going to ask you to speak, and you don't have much experience speaking, then.
Например, если я сейчас скажу кому-то, я сейчас перестану говорить, и вы будете теперь говорить, если у вас нет опыта в этом.
Could be difficult.
Это может быть тяжело.
Say, great, I love to speak. I'm going to speak. I really like to speak. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm going to give a great class.
Можете сделать так, можете сказать, ой, да, я так хочу говорить, спасибо большое, я сейчас буду говорить, спасибо за эту возможность. И потом начнем.
So that's kind of like pushing a car to start it.
Это как толкать машину для того, чтобы она завелась.
But really connecting with who you are and what inspires you is just phenomenal and generating an unlimited supply of energy and enthusiasm in devotional service.
Соединиться с тем, кто мы такие, что нас вдохновляет, это бесконечные источники вдохновения в сознании.
So it's really, thank you, Pani Lali. Thank you. Pani Lali means water girl in Hindi.
Pani Lali значит девочка воды.
She's the one she always brings me water. Now she brings me Maha, so she's Maha Pani Lali. Now, you should tell how to be enthusiastic because you're always enthusiastic.
We don't have to be enthusiastic because we're always enthusiastic.
Why are you always enthusiastic?
Why are you always enthusiastic?
Because
I'm tired.
What a good answer.
Because I think it's very important thing. If you make a sport and you want to be to go to the stage to dance, so you have to train yourself. It can be hard, it can be sometimes easy, it can be sometimes difficult. But you every time come and you have to do certain things. You have to do this, you have to do this, you don't have to eat, you don't have to do this, and then you have to be on the stage.
So you're saying sometimes it's difficult, but there's certain things you have to do to be successful, so you do them. So if you're not enthusiastic, you won't do them. See how enthusiastic she is. It's also natural, isn't it? If you're properly engaged in devotional service, it will be natural.
Если вы правильно заняты при этом служении, то это будет естественно.
You'll be happy. See, she's always happy. Nityananda Dasa.
She
has many names. What was the other name I gave you?
Ananda.
Ananda. See? Now it's Nityananda. You've been elevated up. So now you can ask your question.
I was thinking about that everybody should, during Krishna consciousness, what makes him
inspires.
For example, when one joins, for example, Brahmachari Ashram, there is not so much space for anything doing of what is a conscious. So is what you say is actually only for people who are not Brahmacharis?
It's for people out of boot camp. When you're in a boot camp, you have to do what you're told. When you're out of boot camp, they'll let you choose. Specialize. Right? Tova told me. Is that how it works? But they figure it out for you, or you work with them? But when you're in the army, do they help you figure, they determine what you, or you help them determine?
Depends how much you're willing to fight them eventually.
Well, if they're good, they'll figure out what you're good at. The guru will also figure out what you're doing.
May I translate the question
and answer? Yeah. So Brahmachari Ashram, the beginning of devotional service, is boot camp. You learn the discipline. Both things can go on at the same time. So, I have to see if I've frozen up. Sometimes it freezes and I don't know. Okay. Both things are there. The discipline, to follow your guru, your teacher, your temple president.
Дисциплина, то есть следование.
And the sense of how I can best serve.
Гуру, учителя, президента храма.
So that
чувство, как я могу лучше сейчас служить.
Because Brahmacharya is the obedient servant of the guru, so that's good training.
Брахмачарья это смиренный слуга гуру, это хорошая подготовка.
And remaining enthusiastic and inspired is essential.
Если оставаться энтузиастичным, вдохновленным, это важно, это обязательно.
I think in the Gaudiya Math, maybe somewhere in ISKCON, the first service they would give everyone was washing the pots.
Я думаю, что где-то в ИСККОНе, в Gaudiya Math, где-то в ИСККОНе было первое служение, которое всем давали, это мыть посуду.
Because they felt if a devotee were willing to do that, that means his heart was in the right place.
Потому что они чувствовали, что если преданный готов это делать, значит его сердце в правильном месте.
And you know, when we say inspired to do what you want, it's not that you're just thinking this is going to make me happy, but you're also looking at it in terms of how you can best serve Krishna, and this is where your inspiration comes for service. So that service is always, it's always the predominating feature. It's not just, I like to do this, so this is what I'm going to do.
Когда мы говорим о том, что делать то, что нам нравится, имеется в виду, что должно быть черным служением Кришне. Доминантой должно быть то, что мы думаем, как служить Кришне, а не просто делать что-то, потому что это то, что нам хочется.
And even more important, it's a connection with your nature, who you are.
Даже более важно, это соединиться с нашей природой, кто мы такие.
That's the real point.
Это настоящее главное.
But I will go back to my original point, which a lot of you didn't hear. And that is most important thing is enthusiasm. So whatever is required for you to be enthusiastic. Do it. Or discuss with your authorities that if you're losing enthusiasm and you realize a particular service would inspire you, you can discuss it. Because it's important for you.
Делайте это, если вы видите, что определенное служение, и что вы не вдохновлены, и вы видите, что определенное служение вас может вдохновить, то обсудите это, вот это важно для вас.
Sometimes you do a service and you're inspired by it, but then you keep going, and as time, you know, passes, your enthusiasm goes down and down and down. And you don't know if you're doing it out of duty or. I often wonder, is it the way Krishna tells me that I should change
when you lose
something, or should I find a way to fire up
So very, very good question. Let me say it in English again for that. He's asking, sometimes you do a service and you lose your enthusiasm. So is it that that's the wrong service, or that Krishna's just showing you need to adjust your consciousness? You're in the wrong consciousness, and that's why you're not enthusiastic. And then there's the third thing, is that if it's a necessary service and you're the only one to do it, you don't have a chance to ask that question. Now there's another thing to consider, that when you're on the, when your consciousness is on the level that you just want to spread Krishna consciousness. You can actually be enthused about doing anything. Throw it against the wall.
Okay.
That's a, if you don't know how to repair something, just hit it. It often works.
That's
Russian
method.
That's the muscle mind method. It saved me a lot of money in repairs.
People also.
Oh, it works with people? Some people, yeah. Some people get broken when you get them. Some people. Okay. So there is that stage of consciousness where maybe you're disconnected from the importance of the service, and maybe you're getting too self-centered. So that could be there. Yeah. But then the, okay.
Если то состояние, когда вы теряете важное служение и становитесь слишком, думаете много о себе, в этом контексте.
Because there is a stage of consciousness where liking, not liking doesn't really influence you. You're just, you're very enthused to serve in whatever way you can if it pushes the movement forward.
Есть уровень сознания, в котором не важно, уже не важно, нравится, не нравится, просто энтузиастично служить, потому что это двигает движение вперед.
But what I'm making the point is you don't, in the name of duty and dharma and service, you don't want to allow yourself to come to a point where you lose enthusiasm.
No, то есть я хочу сказать, что ради дхармы, служения и долга вы не хотите попасть в такое состояние, что вы теряете свой энтузиазм.
And then you go to your authority and ask the question you asked me.
Когда вы идете в самом случае к своему авторитету и спрашиваете тот вопрос, который спросили у меня.
Like I said, I have been with devotees who are in management positions, who are not managers.
Yeah.
It was very difficult for them.
Я был с преданными, которые были занимались менеджментом, но они не менеджеры. Это было для них очень тяжело.
And I have been with devotees who are very good managers who had no real ability or inclination for teaching, for example.
Я был с преданными, которые очень хорошие менеджеры, но у них не было тенденции учить.
And I felt one of the most important things those devotees did was realize that.
Я чувствую, что один из самых главных вещей, которые преданные сделали, это понять это.
Because their service was enriched because now they weren't doing something they weren't good at, and often when you do something you're not good at, it disturbs other people because they're involved in your mess.
Their service was enriched because they stopped doing.
Because they stopped doing what they weren't really good at, and a lot of what they were good at actually was disturbing to others because others weren't, they'd have to work with others And it just wasn't good.
Их служение стало намного богаче и лучше, потому что они перестали заниматься теми вещами, которые у них плохо получались, и потому что когда они это делали, другие люди также страдали от последствий их деятельности, проблем, которые происходили.
Every situation is different.
Каждая ситуация она другая.
You know, so, always the principle is whatever it is. It's always what is going to be best for Krishna, spreading Krishna consciousness. But it also has to be in consideration what is the best for my spiritual advancement, because I'm the one spreading it, and if I'm not advancing and I'm not enthusiastic, it's not going to spread.
То есть всегда должны быть, вы должны думать о том, что помогает продвинуть распространение сознания Кришны, но также думать о том, что помогает моему духовному, моей духовной жизни, потому что я распространяю сознание Кришны, поэтому если я распространяю духовную жизнь, не будет энтузиастичен, то я не смогу, не будет хорошо.
So one of the best things we can do to help others is to help ourselves, because then we're enthusiastic.
Одна из лучших вещей, которую можно сделать, чтобы помочь другим, это помочь самим себе, потому что тогда мы энтузиастичны.
Now, I'll tell you a story about enthusiasm. It's funny, but it's true.
Я расскажу вам историю про энтузиазм. Это смешно, но правда.
I had a god brother, and we took prasadam together.
У меня был духовный брат, мы вместе принимали прасад.
And he was very big.
Он был очень большой.
And he ate three plates of prasadam at the Sunday feast.
Он съел три тарелки прасада.
And by his association, I also ate three plates of prasadam.
Из-за его общения я тоже съел три тарелки прасада.
Because he was so enthusiastic about eating.
Потому что он был очень энтузиастичен, когда ел.
I don't know if any of you have had that experience.
Я не знаю, был ли у кого-то из вас такое.
But if you want to go on a diet, don't eat your meals with someone that overeats.
Если вы хотите,
his enthusiasm will wear off on you.
Если вы хотите начать диету, то не ешьте с кем-то, кто ест слишком много, потому что его энтузиазм перейдет к вам.
So you can see from this discussion, everything requires a fine balance.
Можете видеть из этой дискуссии, что все требует тонкого баланса.
I'm connected with my nature.
Я связан со своей природой.
At the same time, I'm connecting with how I can serve Krishna.
В то же самое время я пытаюсь найти связь с тем, как я могу служить Кришне.
It's not just about what will make me happy.
Это не только то, что сделает меня.
But at the same time, if I'm not happy in Krishna consciousness, then what's going to happen to me?
В то же самое время, если я не счастлив в сознании Кришны, что со мной произойдет?
Where am I going to go?
Куда я пойду?
I'm going to try to find happiness somewhere else.
Я пытаюсь найти счастье в другом месте.
So I don't serve Krishna to become happy, but I recognize I need a certain level of satisfaction and happiness to continue in devotional service.
Я не служу Кришне, чтобы стать радостным самому, но я понимаю, что я должен определенную степень удовлетворения и радости, чтобы оставаться в этом служении.
Balance.
Balance.
And I also recognize the more pure I am, the happier I'll be.
Я также понимаю, что чем чище я, тем счастливее я буду.
So it's kind of like making khichdi. We've thrown so many ideas in, and some seem contradictory.
Как khichdi, столько идей мы бросаем, и некоторые кажутся противопоказанными.
But good khichdi, you can throw a lot of things, different things in, and it'll taste good.
Хороший khichdi, можно бросить много разных вещей, и оно будет хороший вкус.
So what you find is that it's not always that it's just one thing is right and one thing is wrong. Sometimes the wrong thing is right in a particular situation and the right thing is wrong in another situation. And it's knowing how to apply all those things for yourself so you get the best result.
Иногда вы видите, что есть вещи плохие, есть то, что нету. Вы можете видеть, что нету хороших и плохих вещей. Просто какая-то плохая вещь может быть хорошей в определенном случае, какая-то хорошая может быть плохой в другом случае. Но надо всегда понимать, что использовать для того, чтобы получить наилучший результат.
Da? Can? Yes? Da is yes in Russian, can is yes in Hebrew. And yes is yes in English. Yes is da in English. What is it? No, that's not da. Forget it. Okay. Okay, questions? More questions? We have, I have to leave at 9. So I have to take a call tonight at 10:30. So I should try to start standing up and moving at 9 o'clock towards the door.
Maybe you can have 15 minutes kirtan and then prasadam?
Oh, we have prasadam. All right, well, I won't start if you have any questions. But as soon as the questions are finished, we can start. Or comments? Any questions?
Sí, in Spanish.
What's that?
Sí, in Spanish.
Sí, right. But there's no one in Spanish. We see can. Da.
Igen. It's Hungarian.
What is it?
Igen.
Igen? Igen. Ja. That's German, right? Ja, good. Om. Ha. Hindi. Ha. No, how do they say correct in Hindi? Tik. 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 Good. True. Teach. Acha. Acha hai. Tik acha. So, and you have this, you know, you have this idea that what was good for you at one stage of your bhakti may not be good at another stage. So you need to be able to adjust the instructions according to who you are. Now I'll give you an example of this. One devotee asked Prabhupada, is it good to pray to Krishna or to desire to go back to Godhead?
Я дам пример. Один преданный спросил Прабхупада, Прабхупада, хорошо ли это молить Кришне вернуться обратно к Богу или желать этого?
What's the answer?
Какой ответ?
Who can give me the answer?
В чем ответ? Дайте мне.
Is it good or is it bad? Is it right or is it wrong?
Правильно или неправильно?
To want to go back to Godhead, to pray to Krishna to go back to Godhead. Is that good or is it bad?
Если вы хотите вернуться к Богу, хорошо или плохо молить Кришне вернуться к Богу?
Depends. Does she want to go to Krishna because she don't want to wash pots?
That could be. So, but that's the answer. It depends.
Ответ в том, что это зависит.
Because technically, technically, that is known as karma, I mean, jnana mishra bhakti. Jnana mishra means it's contaminated with a desire to achieve liberation, achieve something. But Prabhupada told this devotee, he said, yes,
you
should desire. Why did he tell him that? Because if he didn't desire that, he wasn't strong enough to, that would give him the impetus to go ahead in devotional service. But when you advance to a higher level of bhakti, that's considered a contamination, an impurity.
Когда мы продвигаемся на более высокий уровень бхакти считается осквернением.
Right?
Да.
So in Krishna consciousness you apply everything in a way that works to move you forward.
Поэтому в сознании Кришны надо все прилагать так, чтобы это помогало нам продвигаться.
Should we move forward now?
Are
we ready to move forward? Forward into kirtan and prasada? Okay. Let's see if they have any questions in krishna.com. Any questions out there? Yeah. We won't let you ask questions. You'll ask too many. Right, Rehan? You'll ask too many. It's too late here. We're an hour later than you, and I have to leave soon. So we'll have kirtan. Did I get your permission? Is that okay? You have to please the ladies, you know. If they don't give permission, you're in trouble. Okay. I think they'll give permission. Okay. So how are we going to do the kirtan here? Maybe we can put all this on the floor?
Yeah, we need the table.
Okay. Well, no, I'll just chant on the ground. This can go on the ground. You need the table for the offering?
For the sleeping.
Oh, okay. So, hold on everyone out there. Don't leave. We're going to move the computer. You're going to see some...